93 FM. Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO, and now on 106.3 FM.
Oh, sunny Wednesday here in Des Moines, Iowa, capital of our great state here. This is the Murph and Andy Show. It's Andy Fales, Andrew Downs, and Scott Sipker one more time today as we continue to hold the fort here as our buddy Murph spends time with his family down in Florida. Scott, good afternoon.
It is it's a beautiful day out there.
It really is.
I know that this makes us sound very Iowan because it's like 23 degrees outside, but
it's subjective.
I did not need a coat.
I don't know about that.
I didn't.
That's a late January thing.
You didn't wear a coat, Andy. You did the same thing as me.
I got a coat right here. I brought a coat. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good. I brought a coat. It is cold outside.
You don't need it.
It's cold.
Yeah.
It's still cold. There's tons
things
of snow.
Things are melting. It's 24 and things are melting.
Melting because there's salt.
Doesn't make sense.
But. I'm doing well, though. I got to hang out in the snow this morning with my son. We went out and built some snow forts. And a foot of snow to a five-year-old kid, I mean, that's endless fun.
He'll probably...
All he wants to do is be out there.
I don't know that you keep any memories or able to keep any memories from when you're five. Maybe a couple images or something. This might be one of them, though.
Yeah, because like, you know, like the piles of snow after shoveling and plowing the things are three times bigger than he is. It's easy to dig snow and like you know make forts and stuff like that. It's not great snowball snow or anything, but I mean, even just walking into 12 inches of snow, it goes up to his waist.
You can go sledding.
Yes.
On those piles.
When you were a kid growing up in St. Louis, I assume the snow accumulation was very different than it is here.
Yeah, we didn't get as much. There's no doubt. We got one year, this had been, I think, like 1982. It was the winter of 82. Everybody remembers it well.
Oh, that was the year I was born. That's why you remember it.
No, we got 21 inches of snow one night, and it just kept on falling. I can remember watching it fall. Through the windows, and we were out of school for a week.
Do you remember what day it was?
Nope.
Because maybe it was the same storm that brought me to this earth that knocked out the power.
Was there were you?
Because you got snow, we got just a ton of ice, and so then the electricity went out when I was born, and the generator broke, so I was born by flashlight.
When is your birthday again?
December 27th. How do you not remember this, Mr. Guess Whose Birthday?
That's not one that I've committed.
But when I was a kid, Andy. I remember getting snowfalls like what we had this week many times in a month.
Do you think we really did, or do you think that was just your image of a snowfall?
Maybe we'll have to have Ed Wilson on at some point, but I seem to recall that essentially once it was November, there just being snow on the ground until March. And then we'd have these big snows. Now, granted, I lived in rural Carroll County, so we had a lot more wind sweeping through, so we had high drifts and stuff like that. But the snow accumulation had to be much more when I was a kid, although that's just anecdotal. But it feels like we really have seen a shift in the Iowa weather during the winter to being much more mild and less snow.
Well, it's not the case here in Des Moines, where the snow that we got a couple of days ago was the most that we had ever gotten on a January 25th. And we are already about 42 inches of snow for this season, this winter, which is way over what we normally get on average. Normally get
really?
35 inches. Yep. And...
Well, this is good information.
The biggest snow that we ever got was 72 inches in 1911, 1912, and we almost broke that back in 2009-10 when we got 69 inches. I totally remember that. We had the radio show going. We were really pulling hard for the record. Fell just short.
Well, Downs, do you remember when you were a kid? Like, did it feel like we had a lot more snow around here?
Yes. Yeah, a lot more snow, a lot more often, certainly earlier in the year.
Now, do you think that that's real, or is that child's perception?
What's great is that there's an actual answer for this. We just got to dig into it, but we probably have sports we have to talk about. Gosh.
Well, there's something I want to talk about, because I got up this morning and grabbed my phone quick. I, like, got out of bed coherent, which is rare, and thought, how did the Bulldogs do? I jump out of bed, and this almost never happens, but before I even got to the bathroom, I checked my phone and I saw great news.
So did before you go there, had you seen anything last night? Like,
no.
Did you go to bed at halftime and
nope,
think?
Hadn't seen anything last night.
Because that would have been like the ultimate, right? If you go to bed, they're down 15. You wake up I wonder how bad it got.
Yeah, I had no idea. Hit record. Yeah, right. It would have been really deceiving. I would have gone to bed thinking that they lost. But Drake at Missouri State in Springfield, playing a team that has some good players. And I was able to watch this whole game today on YouTube, and see that this was no pushover that they were facing in their own building. With some fans there in Springfield, Drake is down 15 at the half. They're down as many as 17 in the game. But in the second half, the Bulldogs climb out of the hole.
Now Penn, spot up three for the tie, and it's down. The Bulldogs have tied this game at 49. Comes up with a screen. Spot up three by Roman is down. 60-55, a big shot by Roman Penn, and he now has 18 points. Back out to Roman. Roman with a little jab step. Pull up three off the back iron. No good. Batted around. Tank got the board, and he puts it high off the glass and down. It's 62-55. Dogs up by seven. Black's three no good. Rebounded by Garrett Sertz, and that's how this ball game will end. 68-61. The Bulldogs win it. Come from down 17 in the first half, down 15 at halftime, 14-0 for the first time in program history, and still one of only five teams undefeated in the country.
Roman Penn leads the way with 20 points. The Bulldogs come back to win this one, 68-61. This is their biggest comeback win since 2005, when they're down 19 to Evansville. They came back and won that game. Down, as you heard Michael Admire, our good friend on the call there, that is Drake Learfield won with the call, down as much as 17 in this game. They come all the way back to win it. Drake is now 14-0, and they are going for one more tonight in Springfield.
That seems like a pretty good record.
That is a fantastic... time and again, I am amazed at this team.
Well, and especially with the first half last night, after not playing for 3 weeks, when I saw the score at halftime,
off
I was
since
like,
January 4th.
You know, okay, too bad. This is, you know, kind of to be expected. You're off this long layoff. You have a tough road game. And then the whole second half is just like, oh, my God, they're back. This is the team. They're back.
Let's get a quickie poll to throw it out there. From WCI Pools and Spas.
Where are you and the Drake Bulldogs? I am with them, I'm against them, or I don't think about them. And as you can tell by what I'm wearing today, Andy,
I'm
on the bandwagon.
I don't feel like anybody hates Drake. Maybe there's some UNI fans that do, maybe, but they're just not a hateable school.
It would be really interesting to find somebody who hates Drake. Like, because what?
Pick
what
their
do you,
brain.
How do you have to be comprised as a human being to hate Drake University men's basketball?
They got something wrong with them. How can you hate somebody like Darren DeVries? Iowa guy comes back here and has this team playing phenomenal basketball to the point where they're on SportsCenter last night. Darren DeVries, head coach of the Drake Bulldogs, joins us now. First of all, coach, congratulations.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
What did you say at halftime?
We talked about what was for dinner, after the game and things, it was pretty calm, really. It was we knew how we played the first half, and I think they had a really good idea of, you know, what needed to be done in the second half to try to fix it. And then it was just a matter of doing that. You know, it's easier said than done. But I thought they came out and really played inspired that second half and found their legs and rhythm and were able to scratch one out there.
So you're off for so long. You're off for 3 weeks. Were you a little curious to see how they would play in that first half as well? Were you kind of in the dark like the rest of us were?
Yeah, I was. I was concerned about just their game timing, game rhythm, and things. We had a couple of good days of practice leading up to it, but it's just hard to simulate that speed of the game and you know, how that all the timing of everything when you got, you know, a defense that's, you know, locked in the game mode. So, you know, I going back and watching the film, I thought we got some good looks and things offensively. We just didn't convert. And, you know, when you're missing as many as we did that first half, that led to a lot of easy transition baskets for them. So, you know, again, I thought they settled in really well the second half and really got back to competing and playing hard and, you know, playing together.
When you go into the halftime and you give that rousing halftime speech that you alluded to, and you talk about how you guys were just missing shots, do you make any X's and O's adjustments going into the second half?
Yeah, we did. You know, we thought we settled a little bit in the first half, you know, with some things we wanted to make. It was really kind of just having a little more, you know, bite to what we were doing, you know, finishing at the rim, getting fouled, attacking the offensive glass with more purpose. And I thought in the second half, those effort type plays kind of got us fueled and going a little bit. And then we were able to kind of find our rhythm again.
So that you have such a good second half, it seems like you figured something out. You held them to 20 points in the second half. You only turned the ball over, I think, five times, which is incredible, especially after that layoff. Does that lead you to believe that you have figured something out about this team in the second half that you can carry into tonight's game?
I think there's some opportunities there for sure. It's just you got to redo it again, and you know they're going to make adjustments too, and so you may have to, you know, counterpunch that. You know what started to work that they're going to try to take away from us. So on these back to backs, each game's just a new game. You know, and you got to come with that mindset of, you know, what was last night was last night, and tonight might be something entirely different. You know, it might be a, you know, 85-80 shootout. You just got to figure out a way to win that one. You know, and last night was, you know, a lower scoring game and things. So, you know, we'll toss it back up again at 8, and then hopefully our guys are locked in and ready to go do it again for 40 minutes.
Coach, what's been the most challenging part of this season?
Just, you know, the abnormality of it. But I tell you, though, when you got a group of guys like we have, it feels normal because they just roll with it. And, you know, whether it's the protocols that they've had to do, you know, from the summer to the fall to now to the 3-week layoff or, you know, whatever it might be, these guys are just, they just, hey, we're going to make it work. And they just keep looking forward. And we've tried to approach it that way, you know, as a coaching staff as well. It's whatever they throw at us, we're just going to deal with it and make the most of it and enjoy it and have fun with it while we can.
Head coach Darren DeVries is with us here on the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. We're talking about Drake's come from behind win last night at Missouri State in Springfield in an atmosphere that is just, it's so hard to get used to. There's so much space on the sidelines. You have your bench all spread out to the point where it goes all the way around the corner, well onto the baseline with your kids sitting, what kind of 2-3 deep, but spread out all far away from each other, but then nobody around you. That kind of allows you to sort of walk up and down the sidelines in between these players and all this space. And you guys have like your own cheering section down there, right? I mean, you were really demonstrative. I don't think I've ever seen you so visibly into a game, pumping up your arms and running out and high-fiving players. Is that just the fun of a 14-0 start, or is that just the different atmosphere that we get right now in the time of the pandemic?
We've put a huge emphasis on making sure we create our own atmosphere, and to be honest, we're having a blast with it. You know, the bench, you watch our team play, you watch how excited those guys get, and not just those guys, our coaches too. Like, we're having fun. I mean, we are, and obviously winning helps. That is no question that helps add to it, but when you have a great group of guys like this that they're all in it, you know, together, and they're all pulling for one another, it's really something special. And you know, so we coach the play, and then we jump onto the sideline and we lead the cheers. So it's a lot of fun, and these guys are enjoying it. And in a year like this, that's awesome to see the smiles on their face, and it'd be easy to look at the other side of the fence and you know, about what's not right. And I think our guys have done a good job of looking at, you know, what we have and what we're getting the opportunity to do. And that's play the game they love playing.
Coach, we have a quickie poll. I really want to get your thoughts on this. If you could just answer honestly, you know, don't try and spice it up. Just answer this question. Where are you and the Drake Bulldogs? Are you with them? Are you against them? Or you don't think about them? What's your answer?
I'm with them in all capital letters.
That's not an option, sir.
He's at the helm of the ship.
He's just changing the rules to the question.
He's got everybody rowing the oars behind him. When you these two game sets, and you've played the first game, you've gotten to know these teams, then you have to come right back the next night and then play the same guys again. What changes in the second game? Are guys playing with more of an edge? Are they carrying stuff over from the night before? How different is this for you?
Yeah, I think it's an important part of that game too is what your mindset is, because if you have the wrong mindset, you can carry it over after a win and it can impact you negatively. Same thing if you were to lose, I think it could impact you negatively if you don't use it right. And you know, for our guys, like it's all more of that mental approach of like, before we go out on that floor again, to making sure we're engaged like this is the one, and making sure that last night's energy and effort has to be matched again tonight, because there's always a tendency to let down. You know, even last night after a come from behind win, it doesn't just happen again. You have to make it happen, and that's kind of our goal that we set each time we play these back to backs is go make it, go take it, you have to do that or you're going to come out in the losing end.
Well, I think most of us kind of looked at this, Bulldog fans. We sort of looked at this road set and considered the long layoff and how tough Missouri State is and just thought, look, if we can get a split on the road, we'll be really, really happy. But now that you guys went and won the first game, we want the whole thing. We want the sweep. I'm sorry about that, but that's sort of the way it goes, Coach.
Oh, I like that too. I like your mindset. So we'll do everything we can to try to get that done for you.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for taking a little time out of your day. I know you have another game to prepare for tonight. We really look forward to it. It's a 8 o'clock tip, right?
Yes.
8 o'clock tip. So you're going to have to wait. Just keep on waiting and waiting, and then probably get out of there tomorrow at some point. We appreciate your time. Congratulations and good luck tonight.
Thanks. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Luck,
that's our friend Darren DeVries there down in Springfield, Missouri. Home
you
of Bass Pro
Shops. You think you can call him a friend? If you think you're
give
on that level?
Give me a birthday message.
Did he? Was it a copy and pasted message that he sent to everybody?
I don't know. Andrew put it together.
Yeah, no, he did that personally. He sent a video and everything.
Oh, wow. It wasn't like that time the guy before him sent you that really heartfelt message when he was leaving town?
Nico Medved. Sent that really heartfelt, personalized text to 50 different people.
I'm not glad that happened. I'm glad. Because without that, we wouldn't have Darren DeVries.
You're right. You're right about that.
Well, I mean,
this is incredible.
I mean, we could still have Darren, and Nico could have taken a little more time to send you an authentic message.
Well, I thought it was pretty cool, though, waking up to that today. It shouldn't happen to a 50-year-old man. You should not be able to get that excited just by one basketball game. But it happens, man. Get a spring in your step.
It does.
Whole rest of the day.
Sports is one of the best distractions us humans have ever come up with for the fact that the universe is expanding and we're all going to die anyway. Sports is amazing.
Just something that you didn't have anything to do with, but you're taking pride in it. You're walking taller.
Yes.
You're accepting congratulations from people.
I feel my
mood to do with that.
Change when my team is playing well. Like in an Iowa game, I'm pretty anxious the first 10 minutes of an Iowa game. In the second half, when Iowa starts to pull away from some of these teams, I'm riding high.
That's when you got to hit you up with
a, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like exactly. If you need something from me, call me when, or text me. Don't call me. I won't answer. I'm
all
millennial.
Right.
I don't answer my phone. But yeah, text me when I was up 15 in a Big Ten game in the second half. You can have whatever you want.
All right. Well, so we got to get right back at it tonight. Now, they win tomorrow, win tonight, and I come in here tomorrow, and I'm in a real good mood. Phew. Could be really, really something special. It's the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. A federal judge in Florida, I wanted to bring this up to you guys. I think it's kind of interesting. Federal judge in Florida has ordered the destruction of video that allegedly shows New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft paying for a massage parlor sex, according to court documents. U.S. District Judge Rodolfo Ruiz on Friday ruled the videos of Kraft and other customers must be wiped from existence because the Jupiter police surveillance was deemed unlawful. Kraft's attorneys had argued that the billionaire feared the tapes of him in the nude would be publicized on the internet. First of all, I'm surprised they haven't been at this point. How have these not gotten out?
That's a legit fear, because if anybody was able to do that, they would have already done it, and
it'd have been too late.
Probably would have already watched it. TMZ has been trying to pay a lot of money for this for a while, and they haven't been able to dig it up. Somebody had to make a copy, right?
It's got to be. But if you're a billionaire old man, I mean, he's an old man,
80 years old,
and he's a bazillionaire, and so what?
And six-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, I mean, is that bad? I mean, clearly this is a case of having enough money to buy an army of great lawyers. That's what happened here. That's why this happened.
Yes.
He bought his way out of this. But, you know, it's the old, what if the tree is evil, then all of the fruit that falls from it is rotten. So they got it. They obtained the video illegally, and so anything that else that comes from it has to just be thrown out.
Now, he's not the only one.
Even if he really was getting all that stuff in the video.
Right, and I'll just say, yes, he's a billionaire who could probably afford to have make the scales of justice tilt in his favor. I see that. And I don't know enough about this, but if the surveillance footage really is unlawful, then you're hell right it should be thrown out. I don't know if it is, but if it is, yeah, get that stuff out. Now, I don't think he's the only one on the tape that got caught.
He's not.
So if you're any of these other people who are possible criminals.
Oh, it was your lucky day that you happened to go to the Lotus massage parlor or whatever.
You know, being crucified next to Jesus. It's like, yeah, man, it sucks to be here, but at least I'm riding with this guy. You got a billionaire who's essentially just helping you out.
But I don't think the rest of those guys got resurrected also.
No, and I think maybe one of them went to heaven or something.
That's where your analogy kind of falls short there. But the rest of those guys that were in there the day that, what is it, the Asian pear massage parlor or something?
Happy Orchid?
Happy Orchid, yeah, something like that. Lucky Panda. Those guys that just happened to go in there that day, they got the whole thing expunged, courtesy Bob Kraft.
See, this makes me relate to Robert Kraft a little bit more, because it's like, he and I have nothing in common. He's a billionaire. I'm just a dude. Neither of us want to walk around knowing everybody has seen us naked. You know what I mean? Like, money can't buy you
that
out of the fact
fear
that everywhere you are, everybody in that building has seen you getting a hand job at a massage parlor. Like, that you can't buy your way out of that. I'm sorry. You will feel that embarrassment every room you walk into for the rest of your life.
Everybody's thinking of it.
No amount of Super Bowls or billions of dollars will erase that. Every hand you shake, the person's thinking, I've seen that guy's Johnson.
But couldn't you also go the other way and just be like, yeah, you know what?
I guess we don't know what he's working with. I went to the
massage parlor, right? I paid a little extra.
Yeah, I mean, if you're confident in what you've got going on.
You wouldn't do that? Yeah, you can do. You're as rich as me.
Can you be that confident?
You do anything you want.
In the downstairs package, if you're in your late 70s when this video was taken? I don't know.
I don't think he cares. He shouldn't care about that stupid image stuff. Yeah, fine. Make fun of me. I got all these Super Bowls.
Oh man, these guys are
still on the team.
These guys' egos are much more fragile than ours are.
Well, it makes me really want to see that tape.
It does.
Wait, you would watch it?
Because what's he hiding?
I told you, I would watch it.
Yeah, I would
from
watch
the very
it. I would
beginning. I'm not
be hard not
like
to.
Looking. I would look forward to watching it,
you
but I would.
You
watch
sound
it.
Like you're looking forward you're to it with enthusiasm.
No, I look at the car crash.
Yeah,
there's video saying, "Oh, here's a video of a car crash. It's really ugly." I don't turn away. I look.
The first billionaire you've ever seen naked?
Probably not. I mean, on video? I don't know who's got what kind of money. If you see people naked or whatever, stars. I mean,
how much did Stormy Daniels get?
Yeah, a few billion short of a billion. Let's put it that way. All right, we're going to come back here with more, and we got a lot of more today. We're going to do that.
Patience apply. In the market for a great deal? Shop careers at Fairway. From the meat department to the bakery to the store floor, we're hiring. Full-time, part-time, careers for a lifetime. There's more in store for you. Apply now at fairway.com.
Behaving badly.
Play a little Guess Whose Birthday here on the Murph and Andy Show. It is powered by the Cellular Advantage. Scott, we'll start with you. Guess Whose Birthday?
This girl is on fire. This
that is Miss Alicia Keys.
It is.
I don't think she's related to Alan Keys. Remember when that guy ran for president? Anyway, that was random. Alicia Keys has got to be right around my age. Maybe a little older. I'm going to say she is 39.
She's 40, so you get the point. Well done, Andy. Guess Whose Birthday?
I mean, it was 8 years ago that we finished the last film. So that was it. I mean, in my opinion, at the time, there was no more to do with Frodo. And then they started this idea of doing The Hobbit.
That's Elijah Wood.
It is.
Cedar Rapids. Think,
yeah, he's in Iowa. Right, yeah. He is... He's right around 40. I'm going to say 39.
He is 40. So you get the point. We're tied up going to the final round.
Dang
Scott,
it.
Guess Whose Birthday?
When it comes to 13-month-old angel Travis, you are not.
That is Maury Povich.
Nobody's ever been happier than the guys who find out they're not the father on the Maury Povich show.
Yes! Yes!
This woman's just devastated. This baby's just fatherless. These guys are high-fiving their bros. High-fiving the whole front round.
Do you think immediately...
just a window into America's dark heart.
Yes, it is.
If immediately, yes! Does she know who the father is?
They're
then,
not
like,
responsible.
Is it, you able to eliminate that one guy, then she's like, oh, well, then it's got to be Frank.
Oh, man, it's the broke ass.
Dang it.
How old is Maury Povich, Scott?
This is going to be... This is a tougher one. He's quite a bit older than me. Using Andy's...
Yes, he is older than you.
...measuring stick of what's your parents' age. So my mom, I'm going to say Maury's got to be older than my mom. I'm going to say Maury Povich is 77.
He is 82, and that's a miss.
Crap.
And the door's open here, Andy. Guess Whose Birthday?
Of Kiss, you were known for the makeup, the star on your eye, and the star child, as they called you.
It's Paul Stanley.
It is.
Miss it, Andy. Miss it. Miss it. 24.
He's
24.
In his... Paul Stanley's in his 70s.
No.
Paul Stanley...
Miss.
Barely. I'm going to say 71.
Miss.
He is 69.
Oh, yes!
And that's a
tiebreaker!
Miss.
Let's go! Oh, let's go!
We go to a tiebreaker here. Scott, how old is Betty White?
Betty White is 93.
She's not. Andy, is she older or younger?
She's just younger. I think she might be 92.
She turned 99 last week.
What?
What?
Jesus.
Betty White, congratulations.
Well, she just turned 90. God, she's
almost
100.
That is 3 days in a row I've whooped up on you, Andy.
Off to a bad start
this
year. Oh, my
gosh, that feels great.
I go through long slumps here.
I hope when you wake up tomorrow morning, you check your phone, and it still says you've lost 3 days in a row to Sipker.
It probably will. Let's get some more here on the Murph and Andy Show. One more time. Here's the official count. We've had 41.9 inches of snow so far in Des Moines this winter. So keep that in mind. We got a long way to go to get to the record.
Just
record
get
is 72.
72. Yeah, we just got to get through February, right? And we'll grind it out.
I feel like snow is absolutely no longer welcome. After February is over.
Yeah,
no,
and really even now.
Really even February,
well,
I don't want
we got our big storm.
Had some fun with it.
Let's
yeah.
leave this on the ground for a while so it kind of stays and you know just
covers up the brown.
Melts. We don't need a lot of slush. Yeah,
no, but we got it all cleared off.
Yeah, we don't
I mean,
need
all the roads
big
are good
snow
now.
Anymore.
No, we don't want any more of that stuff. All kinds of stuff going on at the State House right now. All sorts of bills. Some of them are kind of crazy. Some of them probably make you angry, depending on what your political affiliation is. Some of them, I guess, I'm honestly always a little surprised that they haven't gone through by now. That would include this one under a new bill in the State House. It would be illegal to use a handheld smartphone while driving under a bill that's being proposed again in the Iowa House. So many other states have required hands-free communication in your car. They've banned holding a cell phone, holding a device while you're driving. With, I'm always, you always can find one group that is fighting against a piece of legislation, even if it seems like nobody would be against it. Like, you know, upping the penalty for drinking and driving. You would think, oh, well, who in the world would want drinking and driving? But it's like the Restaurant Association. It's not that they want drinking and driving. They just don't want so many huge punitive restrictions that it makes people not want to go and have a beer at a bar or restaurant anymore. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I honestly don't know who would be, what industry, what association, what trade group would be in favor of going on with cell phones allowed in the car, except it's just something that everybody still does, and we don't really want to give that up.
Yeah, I think it...
You know what I mean? Does that make any sense? I didn't explain that very well.
But I think it's... The argument that I have heard is that you don't... This is pretty subjective, and you're giving police a pretty easy to explain reason why you pull somebody over.
Yeah.
And but so I can't that's why see, people have wanted not to have it.
But with the Republican-controlled House and Senate, I can't imagine that would have been enough to keep this from
becoming
law. Yeah, this
seems
long.
To me yeah. like something you should absolutely be the... I mean, using your phone is comparable to drunk driving.
Yeah, distracted driving is proven to be more dangerous. And we want to get rid of distracted driving. But I think it's the case of we all sort of are guilty of this. We all do this. We all think that we can do it in moderation. Taking a phone call, glancing at a text, flipping on an app or something, doing something with one hand while still driving and keeping our eyes on the road. I just kind of feel like that's the reason that this hasn't already become law. Because the science is all there, the numbers are all there, studies are all there. I think I'm sure it's got bipartisan support. I'm sure that there are Republicans and Democrats alike who can point to somebody they know or maybe even in their family that was injured by a distracted driver. They would have reason, incentive to pass this on through. But I just think it's something that a lot of people to this point still don't think is that harmful or that you can at least do it in moderation.
Well, you almost get away with it every single time. I mean,
you do get away with
thing.
It every single
right.
time, yeah.
Except for the time that you don't. So it's you build up this tolerance where it's like, well, it's not so bad, and you keep going and going and going until that distraction becomes unfortunate.
Wonder if this will be the year that actually goes through. Sales of skateboards, Legos, and other playthings propelled U.S. toy sales to a $25 billion 2020, a 16% increase from 2019 as consumers look for ways to pass the time during the pandemic. Toy sales through mid-March of 2020 were flat with the prior year. Weren't doing very well this time last year. But once families were on lockdown due to the health crisis, disposable income shifted from other types of entertainment, such as movie theaters and amusement parks, and went to toys. Toy sales spiked 38% in May of last year, a month after the federal stimulus checks were distributed. Although May showed the biggest monthly gain of the year, sales rose again sharply, up 33% in October as retailers rolled out holiday deals and Amazon hosted its Prime Day.
Oh, yeah.
Big year for toys.
Yeah. Our kids get what they want at this point. I mean, not completely, but it's like...
Kids today have so many more toys than they used to.
And if spending a few bucks makes my son, you know, takes him to entertain himself for a few hours on a Saturday afternoon when we've all been in the same house together for 10 months, I'll spend 20 bucks.
How rich is Legos? I mean, that company, where is that from? Finland or Sweden or some Scandinavian country or something? Somewhere in Europe.
Isn't it just Lego?
I mean, yeah, it's probably Lego.
Let's not pluralize it.
It has been making essentially the same toys more than my entire lifetime.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they do they have dressed him up a lot. I mean, they're really, you know, the Harry Potter stuff and the Star Wars stuff of today is much more intricate than the stuff that I had when I was growing up. But it's all the same concept.
Yeah, it's just the same.
You stick it together.
And I think a big difference is that people our age are putting them together, whether they have kids or not.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we have a bunch of like Harry Potter Lego sets, but you have to put those together exactly right, and there's just those pieces. So then it's like, well, that's not fun to play with for the kids. So then you have to get a bunch of like assortment sets so that the kids can actually, you know, use the creativity you're supposed to use with Legos and build things.
Yeah, what's fun about Legos is not building the exact model that's on the box.
Following the instructions.
No, screw that. It's making your own thing out of just a giant box of assorted Legos.
Exactly.
That's what's fun. But Legos are, the genius behind Legos, I think, are the fact that first of all, everybody played with them as a kid and you remember them fondly. So that when you go to a birthday party now, or you got a nephew or a grandson, a granddaughter, doesn't really matter. I mean, everybody likes them. You could grab a Lego toy for $10 and give it to that kid. Now, the kid may get six of the exact same thing,
yes,
but it doesn't matter. You can just put them all together and you just have more Legos. It doesn't matter. And they're not that expensive, and it's something that you can relate to, so you don't have to have Legos explained to you to be convinced to buy them. You also know how they work.
As a parent, you also kind of feel like it's a good way to play for your kids.
Yeah,
there are some
creative
toys where it's like, I'm being a bad parent by letting them.
Yeah, you give another video game or something like that. No, Legos, I mean, they are kind of using their mind. I don't know how much more they're really using their mind.
You feel better.
You're like, the kid can be an architect. He's learning to be a
mason. Yeah, he'll get into masonry. Yes, that's what he'll be doing.
A city planner. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe he'll go into the tire industry.
All right, we're going to end with this. Representative Justin Humphrey of Oklahoma introduced a bill to the Oklahoma legislature earlier this month, proposing a Bigfoot hunting season. The bill reads that the hunting season would be regulated by the Oklahoma Wildlife Conservation Commission, which would set annual dates along with specific hunting licenses and fees. Quoting the Oklahoma Republican, he says, "A lot of people don't believe in Bigfoot, but a lot of people do." Humphrey said in a news release, $25,000 reward for a dead Bigfoot. It would seem to be worth more to have him alive.
You should not be able to kill it. Like that, you should be fined for killing it.
Well,
what if it's the last one?
If you find Bigfoot, you want to keep him alive.
Well, you're going to have a hard time.
You can run your own Bigfoot museum and make more than $25,000. You can have a roadside zoo. If it's got Bigfoot in it, you're going to make more than $25,000.
Here's what you do, though, if you're Oklahoma and you want to cash in on these fools. You make this $25 million. $25 million for a Bigfoot caught dead or alive.
And you set like the license
fees. And then the tag is, it costs, you know, $3,000. You
give them a whole city in Oklahoma. I'll tell you what, you guys catch Bigfoot, we'll give you the whole state.
We'll rename Oklahoma.
Now, the entrance fee is $1 million, but you can win $1 trillion.
This is a good investment.
But
it's
honestly,
lifetime pass.
How much sense does this make? If Bigfoot is anywhere, is it Oklahoma?
No.
I mean, he's in like Idaho in the mountains or something, right? I mean, he's up in the Canadian Rockies.
Yeah, he would be somewhere where there are not a lot of humans. Like, is there a great wilderness in Oklahoma?
Eastern Oklahoma really has some cool Ozark Mountain wilderness. It's pretty cool. But, I mean, first of all, Bigfoot's covered in body hair. I think he's got to be north of there. He's way too hot if he's down there in Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas.
Like one of those moose that get too far south.
The way you guys are talking about this, though, you think there's a Bigfoot. Like, do you think the people believe in Bigfoot think that it's just one Bigfoot?
No,
and
I think there's a species.
If so, how does that work? Yeah, right. It's the Sasquatch species.
Yeah, they're
a race of Sasquatch.
But honestly, let's bring this to Iowa. Let's start cashing in. You know how we put our casinos right next to Nebraska so we get all their foolish money? We got to do the same thing.
Maybe we can use the license fees to fund schools.
I heard Sasquatch really loves corn.
Could be a genius move. They'd be the only ones. Coming up next is
It's time for throwdowns.
Throw down.
powered by Heartland Tire and Auto
Let's
Center.
Throw it down. Scott, after a 3-5 season and a total record of 12-20 in 3 years, Scott Frost is dealing with an exodus of players from his program this offseason. Is Scott Frost on the hot seat? And if not, what do you think it would take to get him there?
Oh, thank you for asking. This is a joyous question. I hope he's there for a while because Nebraska has lowered their standards so much. I think he's got to be on the hot seat right now. And if he has another sub-500 record this year, I think he'll be gone. I sure hope that happens. I hope he has a sub-500 record and they keep him.
I don't really have my finger on the pulse of the Husker Nation, but I would, they're not too far removed from the days where they really felt entitled. So I would assume that they are really disappointed. I mean, this is their guy. So he's absolutely got everybody's support. This year will be a watershed year for him. If he wins, they will be, if he even just starts out well, they'll be 100% with him and say, yes, we got over the hump. We just needed to be a little bit more patient. But if he has a bad year, I mean, honestly, I can see them at the end of the year. I don't know what his buyout looks like either. That's always a big factor.
I'm not sure either.
And at the point now where they bought out a lot of contracts, they've spent a lot on nothing. But I think at the end of the year, if they've done nothing and gotten no closer to where they want to be, I think they honestly do look at buying him out because I don't think that they're that patient. They're still close enough to the years where they were feeling entitled.
Who takes that job? Anyway, another throwdown question some other day.
Andy, Tom Izzo said yesterday he knows absolutely zero about the Big Ten rescheduling the four games the Spartan missed due to COVID. We do know about one of those games. Now I'll get to that in trending next hour. But what should the Big Ten's priority be? Making sure that every game is rescheduled and played, or getting teams to the finish line rested and ready for the NCAA tournament?
I think you got to think about the NCAA tournament. I mean, they took this approach with Big Ten football, and it seemed to work because you get Ohio State into the CFP and they win a game. That seemed to make it all worthwhile, even though you had teams like Iowa that just got cut off. But the NCAA tournament is everything. You know that that's what people care about. You know that the Big Ten can redeem itself in the NCAA tournament with all those good teams. Just get them there. That should absolutely be their priority.
If it doesn't require much risk, then you do the thing that makes you the most money. And I don't know if they're going to make more money if they play these games or not, if that's already figured out. If they're going to make more money and it's not going to cause the virus to spread more, however much you may be able to figure that out, then you just play the games because they're trying to make as much money as they can. But you cannot miss the NCAA tournament. That can't happen because that's where the cash cow is.
Scott, I had some dreams last night that have kind of stuck with me today, which is weird for me. I usually forget my dreams or don't even remember that I had dreams. How often and how well do you remember your dreams?
Well, I'm kind of interested to hear what your dream is, but I will digress.
Take
and
that off
say,
the air.
I probably about once a week will have a vibrant dream. It's usually a nightmare thing or something super. It's a highly emotional situation, and it'll usually wake me up. And because I get woken up, that's how come I remember it. But yeah, about once a week, I'd say that happens.
I would say once a week, I remember a dream to the point well enough that I'm standing in the shower thinking about the dream. That's how long it lasts, and then it's gone. By the time I'm done with the shower, it's gone. Once a month, I have one that is vivid enough that I can think about it into the day. But that's it. Which is crazy because when I was a kid, I would have dreams all the time that I would remember for a long time. I don't know if that kind of goes with old age, your dream retention or something, but I rarely have those anymore. Probably also because I'm so stinking tired. But I, for whatever reason, I rarely now have dreams that I hang on to for any length of time.
Pull us up on Twitter at Murph_Andy. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Andy or was it Scott?
Or was it Murph? I think he'll be a choice down there. I feel like it was me today. I really do.
I doubt it.
I do too. Hour number two coming up. We're going to do Trending Iowa, and then we have a hashtag topic for you.
All right.
Hashtag should have known. We'll explain next.